I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called a flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
It's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had, there are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of them.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government, since this is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative networks, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E Pluribus Unum.
You falsely accused me of being involved in a racial incident.
He said you were involved.
You were.
He said he was.
You are very racist.
He said he was.
You're going to be dealt with.
He said he works for you.
It's going to come to light who you really are. It's going to come to light who you really are.
Hey, just answer one question. Yes or no?
What about the fake person?
Yes or no?
And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Friday, October 13th, Friday the 13th, 2023 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. It is a wild and dystopic ride. And how wild and dystopic reality is hiding right there out in plain sight. And we are gaslit as to reality, and a counterfeit is presented to us, and people gobble it up. Example, Exhibit A this morning is perhaps the email that Larry sent me, a copy of the late, great Jack Otto's last talk, Forbidden Knowledge. Talk, a search for that, actually, and a few different copies of it. Well, Forbidden Knowledge search, which includes several instances of that last talk on August 4, 2007. And you can still find that on YouTube, in fact, which is pretty surprising, given the subject matter, I think. So that's interesting. And there are other entries. I was sent by a dear friend a copy of Chuck Baldwin's article published yesterday, What Does the Hamas-Israel War Portend for Bible Prophecy? Chuck Baldwin says, zero, zilch, nada. Basically, he closes the rant. So what does the Hamas-Israel War Portend for Bible Prophecy? Absolutely nothing. Nothing is uppercase. So that's interesting. An interesting read along the same lines. Very interesting stuff. I think we will keep today more pedestrian than that. To the point, I think that point that Ken and I were discussing during yesterday's broadcast. The headline over at Washington Post, celebrations of Hamas attack on Israel prompt cities to tighten security. That was the ratcheting up of the national security apparatus that I was talking about. You know, false flag P2OG, strategy of tension episodes meet R2P, responsibility to protect and even to prevent, dear comrades. So, you know, basically worldwide celebrations, which you have to, again, like I just said, you know, how wild and dystopic do we really believe that there were, this article was published in the Washington Post on October 8, 9:43 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, EDT, it says. The on-page, the metadata title, celebrations of Hamas attack on Israel prompt cities to tighten security. Isn't it amazing how we just know everything in real time? We know it was Hamas. How do we know? Because, I mean, they sent video footage. They telegraphed everything they did. They posted stuff on social media and did it in real time. And look, we're taking hostages. Like, it's really us. It was cartoonish. It was ridiculous. So all of that was, you know, circulated worldwide, obviously. So we know that, of course. There's no questioning that. Has to be Hamas. How do we know? Because they posted videos of it. You know, you or I would get banned from social media for anything even approaching that kind of content. Yet how do terrorist organizations have social media? Anybody ever wonder? People get put in Facebook jail for posting photos of their, you know, babies playing in a pool. Your baby is not covered, you know. Your baby's naked. We can't have nudity on social media. It's not nudity. It's a baby. So people get put in Facebook jail for ridiculous nonsense like this, but you can post all kinds of this hogwash and still keep on it. Maybe that's what we should all do. We should all just call ourselves Hamas, and then we don't have to worry about social media. And we call ourselves, you know, foreign migrants, and we don't have to worry about, you know, checkpoints across borders and things. Oh, and we get lots of free stuff, too. We get free money and free stuff. Being facetious, of course. But it's ludicrous to imagine that all of this could be known worldwide in real time. You know, like when we see the strategy of tension episodes here at home, and all of a sudden the press immediately knows, you know, we've scoured, we've combed through years of social media posts. Oh, look, here's a thing that he posted, and the FBI is already raiding things. And a Hollywood ending seems to materialize before our very eyes. It's amazing. So, the meta title, celebrations of Hamas attack on Israel prompt cities to tighten security. That's, you know, the dialectical conflict model in action. Something happens. You stimulate and manage the reaction to it. And then, of course, you know, in real time, cities tighten security around the world. And then the on-page title, European U.S. cities boost security after celebrations of attack on Israel. And again, this article, this Washington Post article by Jennifer Hassan, was published October 8, 2023, 9:43 a.m. Eastern Time. First thing in the morning. You're telling me less than 24 hours? Not only have cities around the world allegedly implemented tighter security at Jewish holy sites and for local communities in the wake of Hamas's unprecedented attack on Israel, linked to the Washington Post article also published the same day. Israeli forces still pursuing militants in southern Israel. A series of articles. Anyway, it's pretty ridiculous, I would say. The article is written in real time as the events are unfolding. Pro-Palestinian rallies were held in several other nations Saturday. Saturday? People knew this was happening and around the world. Pro-Palestinian rallies were held in several other nations Saturday, including Iran, Lebanon, and Turkey. Large groups chanted anti-Israel slogans and waved the Palestinian flag. Yeah, that looks like a real... The guy staring at the camera is not suspicious. Maybe they have crowds on demand in other countries too. Crowdsondemand.com. A rally titled All Out for Palestine is due to be held in Times Square on Sunday afternoon, according to organizers who are using social media to promote the event. So this was published Saturday, talking about, you know, a rally on Sunday. And of course, you know, in all of these goofy, ridiculous, you know, deals, you have Nosferatu, Kathy Hochul, weighing in, and Mr. Communitarian World Economic Forum acolyte, par excellence guy, you know, Mayor Eric Adams. These folks are there. Of course, you get their comments. In the United States, New York Governor Kathy Hochul said security was being increased within Jewish communities and at houses of worship, like, you know, the Synagogue of Satan, maybe, I don't know, where Nosferatu attends. She also condemned what she called an abhorrent and morally repugnant rally planned in Times Square on Sunday in support of the perpetrators of the attack on Israel. In support of the perpetrators. George Bush, you're either with us or you're with the terrorists. Wait, isn't that not the same thing? And so New York City has the largest Jewish population in the world outside of Israel, and we stand side by side with Israel every day, but we do so with extra resolve today, Mayor Eric Adams said in a statement Saturday. This is Saturday. And then Adams assured Americans that there was, quote, no credible threat to New York City, but that the police had been directed to deploy additional resources to Jewish communities and houses of worship. So they can do this in real time and lock down and crack down and all of that. But, you know, we have to be subjected to the nonsense of, well, the sham attack. First of all, I went through a series of questions yesterday that are not exhaustive, but I think the laundry list of questions that I posed yesterday really point to the absurdity of all of this. It's absurd. And then there's, you know, things like the January 6th nonsense, 2020. The impossible became possible, apparently, and we're not supposed to believe common sense. We're supposed to believe fairy tales. That's how wild and dystopic. I want to give you one curious entry. That I happened upon yesterday. Speaking of this nonsense, a Fox News video, and I thought it was particularly interesting because because of the soundbite that was included. What do we want to do? We're running short on time. We want to probably... So maybe we'll do like... we'll give a little bit of an intro. That. So Trey Yangst, Fox News correspondent in southern Israel. I mean, that's what we're supposed to believe anyway, presumably. What he said was pretty shocking. Can we play that? If you're ready. Title of the YouTube video is Israel Strikes, Targeting People Who Filmed Massacres. I thought, well, there are a few ways that you can take that or interpret that. But lest we wonder, Trey Yangst gave us the specifics. Very specific. You ready? Or should we wait? So we can wait till the next segment? Yeah. Absolutely astounding. And if you're paying attention, I mean, we'll play the clip in the next segment, but if you're paying attention, how is this even, you know, how is this not a war crime or a crime against humanity? It's astonishing. But, you know, the more sinister motive might be, you know, to destroy evidence, because that's, you know, if there are training camps, there probably are. Who was running the training camps? Now we have to destroy the evidence. If they're destroying evidence everywhere to cover their tracks, it's pretty sinister. I wonder what we would hear if we were over in Gaza. I mean, there are folks that we have heard from. But I wonder if there were a number of folks embedded in Gaza, I wonder what we would be hearing. I think it would be a very different story, obviously. So, we're going to skip the break. Are we skipping? Because if we are, we can play the clip. All right, maybe we'll just continue for the moment, and I'll get back to kind of where I was yesterday. We'll back up and we'll go down the rabbit hole a little bit. So I wanted to explain Hamas a little bit and then Global Research has some interesting posts that are very informative. You know, to look around and see kind of what's out there, you know, that's not establishment narrative stuff. Obviously, that's, you know, challenging to find anything that is. And, so a couple of posts. One I mentioned yesterday. Is the Gaza-Israel fighting a false flag? They let it happen. Their objective is to wipe Gaza off the map. You know, speaking of folks embedded in Gaza, there's the video clip from Efrat Finneyson, former IDF intelligence officer, and she made her video day of. So and the Global Research article, after Efrat's video, it says, ironically, the media, NBC, is now contending that the Hamas attack bears hallmarks of Iranian involvement. And so it's kind of what we've been talking about over the course of the week, this week. If you want to, you know, if your objective is to eradicate the undesirables in the area, Palestinians are the undesirables, then this serves that purpose very well. And if you want to pursue the greater Israel, you know, the Eretz Israel Yanan plan agenda, this serves very well. If you want to maybe push out from there and try to find some excuse to, you know, further invade other places, you know, the seven countries in 5 years kind of thing. Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, finishing off with Iran. Then this serves very well. So, you know, it checks all of those expansionist sort of boxes. And again, is it not strange that in real time, you know, there's this catastrophic failure of intelligence somehow, some way, like Efrat Finneyson said in that video that she made, you know, I served in the IDF 25 years ago in the intelligence forces. There's no way Israel did not know what was coming. She said a cat moving along the fence is triggering all forces. So how did this happen, basically? These guys blowing up sections of fence. And there's no response. IDF forces were moved out of the way, as is usually the case in these instances. My understanding is that they were moved to the West Bank for some reason. I'm not sure exactly what that is. At this point, we probably won't know, because that's, you know, that's neat to know. But we can know everything else that we're supposed to know. So they were moved out of the way. Like I said yesterday, how did Hamas know when and where exactly? Why was there no response for hours, almost an entire day? Israeli, IDF forces, military and law enforcement were not dispatched. Meanwhile, the Washington Post is writing articles in real time. Does that make any sense to anyone? How is this possible? And we're led to believe that Hamas is posting videos of, haha, this is what we're doing, blowing stuff up, taking hostages, invading. Oh yeah, and here are the videos of our training. We were doing that too. That's all happening in real time, but there's no military or law enforcement response to the incursion. Really? If I didn't know better, I would say that sounds an awful lot like theater. Managing, you know, perception management. Oh my goodness. They're beheading children. Right. Read Sam Kane's book, Faces of the Enemy. I've gone through that many times. Faces of the Enemy. Reflections of the Hostile Imagination. So the Amazon description says, examines the psychology of hatred and aggression by which one's fears and inadequacies are projected onto others, dehumanizing them into enemies and legitimizing violence. But I've talked about on past broadcasts some of the specifics, the psychology of enmity and how it's been exploited. And Sam Kean goes through the propaganda and the images that are created and how it's all the same. World War One, World War Two. You vilify folks. You dehumanize them, you know, before you want to destroy them. So, he has a series of, you know, the enemy, well, where is it? Enemy as the enemy of God, the enemy as barbarian, the greedy enemy, the enemy as a criminal, committer of atrocities and torture. And there are images from every country at war. It's almost like Bernays, is in charge of propaganda for all of the countries involved in World War One and World War Two, for example. All the major conflicts. The enemy as rapist, desecrator of women and children. Sex and war. The enemy as death. The enemy as beast, reptile, insect. And so on and so on. And, you know, all of the images that are very, very similar. You know, you look at all of the countries that have put out their propaganda. It's all the same. So what a coincidence. Faces of the Enemy, Reflections of the Hostile Imagination, published back in 1991. Of course, we're going to hear they're beheading babies, which is absurd. And if that is happening, you know, even Bibi said, when you think Hamas, you know, think ISIS, well, where did ISIS get the idea? Where does the ideology come from? Who beheads, you know, people historically as a form of punishment? So, you know, where are these radical groups coming from? People would think it's crazy, you know, if you said, well, around the 1740s, British intrigue realized that this ideology was very effective in cowing people, getting them to bend the knee, seeing the alliance between Ibn Abd al-Wahhab and the House of Saud, British intrigue seized the opportunity to expand its influence, to balkanize the Ottoman Empire and beyond. You gotta infuse it with a little bit of Marxism and a couple other things too, but you know, works pretty well. Radicals of the world unite. Anyway, can we play that clip, Israel Strikes Targeting People Who Filmed Massacres? Can we play that from like the 4 minute mark? I think I got it cued to that. By chance. Can we play that clip?
They put these tunnels so far underground that when they use a bunker buster, they have to hit the same place three or four times often to actually target the area they're trying to hit. They've had years and years to build this tunnel system, and it is one of the most difficult parts about their job in Gaza. And remember, they have open fields in different areas, so you'll often hear about agricultural areas in Gaza that are getting pounded by airstrikes, and that's because these are where the rocket launchers are. They have systems underground where they can move rockets, feed them into launchers, and then fire them in these barrages that land in communities just like this. And it's part of the reason when we've been in Gaza, we've stood in craters that are the size of houses, and still they haven't hit the target underneath.
Trey, can you explain to our audience the different targets? And what I mean by that is, what is Hamas striking and what is Israel striking?
So they're both striking in complex environments. And when I say complex environments, I want to talk about the mixture of military and civilian. In Gaza, it's an incredibly densely populated area. There are more than 2 million people that live there. It's 25 miles long and anywhere from 3 to 7 miles wide. The Israelis are striking buildings, they're striking houses, they are striking open fields. They have intelligence, though, about these areas, and they're linked to Hamas or Islamic Jihad. So the current situation, we were told today, this was cleared for publication from the Israeli censor because it was sensitive information, but it was cleared that the Israelis are now targeting people inside Gaza who filmed any of the massacres on Saturday. So if they were able to use their intelligence and someone on an iPhone took a video of someone else committing an atrocity or even just filming, they would find that person if they had the intelligence on them and hit them with an airstrike or a drone strike or artillery.
Whoa.
What we are seeing in Gaza today, and we should describe this, it is just complete destruction of neighborhood blocks and houses. And the level of destruction is significant. It is the
perfect Thank you, sir. You know, lest we wonder, Trey Yingst tells us, but, you know, isn't it? I just thought it was so curious that Lawrence Jones asked the question. You know, he asked the question that primes the pump for this explainer. That was an interesting question. Yeah. Why did you ask that question, Lawrence Jones? Interesting question. And then Trey Yingst says, the current situation we were told today, this was cleared for publication from the Israeli Center because it was sensitive information, but it was cleared. So, you know, that's an interesting preface. I would say that, you know, this is reliable, apparently. We're not guessing here. It's not hearsay. It's not speculation. That the Israelis are now targeting people inside Gaza who filmed any of the massacres on Saturday. So if they were able to use their intelligence, you know, they couldn't use their intelligence to know that the attack was happening, obviously. But if you were filming anything, how do you suppose, you know, Unit 8200 might, you know, is it possible Unit 8200 is partnered with cell providers, cell carriers to, I don't know, turn AI loose on video and photographic footage, imagery, and then to geo-target or geo-locate the person in question. I mean, the pictures and the videos all have EXIF data embedded in them, including geolocation. You can turn that off, but you can't. You know, I want to turn that off, but it's still in there. And then, of course, you know, if the device is still operable, you know, you can find that pretty easy. So, you know, if the Israelis, if they were able to use their intelligence and someone on an iPhone took a video of someone else committing an atrocity or even just filming, you're filming someone filming, they would find that person if they had the intelligence on them and hit them with an airstrike or a drone or artillery. So they can do that, but apparently they can't see the attack coming. I mean, that's not suspicious at all. Why are they targeting people, taking videos? Are they asking questions first? Maybe those people are trying to say, hey, we saw some people doing something. Here's some video footage of the terrorists. Do you want it? You know, to try to find out who they are. Or are you just going to bomb people indiscriminately? Bomb first, ask questions later. You know, I'm no military expert. I'm no four-star general or whatever, but that just seems short-sighted if you really, you know, and you're not going to win hearts and minds doing that, I don't think. But Israel is not interested in winning hearts and minds in Gaza, are they? Bibi doesn't seem to want to win hearts and minds in Gaza. Oh my goodness, they caught us off guard, but immediately, military posture, response, articles come out, fact check, you know, deal or, you know, conspiracy nonsense from the ADL, all of this stuff rolls out in real time, worldwide. Like I was talking about yesterday. But that's not strange. The fact that, you know, some of the best, if not the best defense forces in the world, including, you know, Mossad and the Iron Dome, that all fails catastrophically. But then in response to that, in real time, we can find people who took videos of the massacres, quote unquote, and we can bomb them. Is it me, or does it just seem strange? Like I said yesterday, you know, how did everybody know? I mean, I didn't know there were. Did you know that there were protests and things within 500 miles of wherever you live, maybe? Protests and counter-protests in the same place, same time, worldwide. How did they get permits for that on Sunday? I didn't know City Hall was open on Sunday. As I've said earlier this week, I've been to things like this. I've been to events that, you know, or literal, legitimate, organic demonstrations where a handful of people get together and, or, you know, more and say, hey, let's, you know, let's do something. Let's go out and demonstrate. Let's go out and say, this is not okay. And invariably, law enforcement shows up and says, hey, you guys got to get out of here. You need a, you know, you need a free speech chit. You got to go get your chit so that you can exercise your free speech. You got to get your permission slip. But not this past weekend, apparently. In places like, well, you know, the hotbeds of where we see this kind of nonsense happening, as we saw during the COVID shenanigans. So, you know, rioters, looters, you know, people destroying cities, burning cities down, they're just protesters. But then, you know, the average person needs to get permission to cross the street or whatever. We've seen this in these crazy cities. The Kirkland thing reminds me of Mayor, what's her name? Who, you know, oh no, they're just exercising their First Amendment rights. Are they? Jenny Durkin. Anyway. They're exercising their First Amendment rights. And then, you know, and I joked, maybe they should go hang out at her fancy new $4.5 million mansion, her and her life partner. And they did. And then all of a sudden... They weren't exercising their First Amendment rights. They were, oh my gosh, get these people out of here. These people are crazy. What happened, Jenny Durkin? You know, maybe the protest should go to Nosferatu's house. Kathy Hochul's house. She just looks like Nosferatu. I'm sure she thinks it's God's will that Israel, you know, engages in genocide. The nation, political construct, geopolitical construct. Just like she said, it was God's will that people get vaccinated. But which God? Can we define terms? Nosferatu, tell us which God you mean. I digress. All right, I said I would get into specifics, and that was days ago. Probably should just do that. And, I wonder if we could play Efrat Fenningson's video. We should probably, I don't know, maybe I'll save that. From Shlomo Allegra's article. (clears throat) 2018 Times of Israel article, Hamas, Israel's own creation. So you have to understand, this even is a, you know, what do you call it? This is a snapshot. This is a truncated version of the history. But, you know, for most people, they don't understand how the boogeyman was created. You know, Islamo-fascism, or as, you know, the Islamic fundamentalism or radical Islam, this has all been incubating, not even since the late 70s, but since the late, or since the mid 1700s. Really. And most of us don't understand the history or take time to learn it. And so, you know, we buy into the nonsense that we're fed. Well-meaning, you know, Christian folks, otherwise. Don't you support Israel? Yeah, but do some history. Do some, you know, do some research. Dive into the history and, you know, of this thing. You're saying, biblically speaking, that God will cause this thing to reemerge on the world stage in a day. Okay. And I'm saying, I know the history of the 150 years or so before this thing emerges on the world stage. And none of it was, you know, it was very, very strategically and skillfully planned and orchestrated, including the two world wars that coincide with Pike's letter. And fine, let's just say that, you know, for the sake of argument, that Pike's letter is spurious, apocryphal, whichever you please. Quigley wrote The Anglo-American Establishment, and that is a book that was published posthumously, by the way. Why is that? Why would he, you know, he, Tragedy and Hope was published in 1966. Why wait until he's not around anymore to publish The Anglo-American Establishment? The Amazon book description reads, Quigley exposes the secret societies established in London in 1891 by Cecil Rhodes. Quigley explains how these men worked in union to begin their society to control the world. He explains how all the wars from that time, let's see, 1891, were there a couple of world wars after that? He explains how all the wars from that time were deliberately created to control the economies of all the nations. This is the guy Bill Clinton said was his mentor. He explains how all the wars from that time were deliberately created to control the economies of all the nations. Well, that just sounds crazy. I mean, who could do that? Who could pull that off? Well, you and I do not think like these people. You and I do not have the kind of God complex that people like George Soros, Bill Gates have, that have been publicized. And I would say they're kind of small fish in certain circles. You know, those guys are billionaires, and most people go, wow, you know, they're billionaires. What about the people who own the Monopoly game? Literally. Central banks are private banks. You can go, I've said it a million times, but St. Louis Fed, for example, who owns the Federal Reserve Banks in plain English? Federal Reserve Banks, the opening sentence, the Federal Reserve Banks are not, and not as italicized, the Federal Reserve Banks are not a part of the federal government. What? But they exist because of an act of Congress. okay? Their purpose is to serve the public. Yeah, up on a platter. So is the Fed private or public? The answer is both. The Federal Reserve banks are not a part of the federal government. That's from the St. Louis Fed. So if it's a private bank, who owns it? Not you and I. So, you know, if you own the printing presses, the counterfeit presses that have been legitimized, as the St. Louis Fed points out, by an act of Congress, a treasonable act of Congress, who are the real big fish? It's not the billionaires, because you have some of that stuff, you know. Who's the big fish? The people who play Monopoly and, you know, win the game because they get all of the money on the board, or the ones who make the game? Years and years ago, on Patriot, you know, in Patriot enclaves like RBN, guys used to do, well, people used to do broadcasts talking about the, you know, there's the, you know, L. Frank Baum's Theosophical Wizard of Oz and the parallels in reality. You know, the Tin Man, for example, is it the tax identification number man? He's just a shell. And, you know, the Scarecrow, he's a straw man, et cetera, et cetera. Follow the Yellow Brick Road, you know, the poppy fields, all that fun stuff. Flying monkeys, which is a term that is used in psychology circles today. But there's also, you know, the Monopoly parallels in real life. And people used to talk about that. Now it's just passé. It's old news. You look at those characters on the cards and things. Used to look like real people back in the day, you know. The tycoons with their top hats and cigars, guys, you know, looks like J.P. Morgan, for example. Anyway, who owns the game is, you know, what kind of a God complex do those people have? So they don't think the way that you and I think. According to Quigley, these characters, you know, the Rhodes Milner Roundtable groups and their affiliates cooked up the wars. How all the wars from that time were deliberately created to control the economies of all the nations. Anyway. And, you know, it really didn't start there, I suppose, is an important point to make. It's interesting that we're never, these days, no one, the real criminals are not apprehended and are not brought to justice. Do you notice that? Funny how that works. But the man on the street, we can't let him run scot-free. Something happens, like, you know, if, for example, what we are led to believe actually happened, let's just say Hamas attacked Israel. I think it's textbook false flag. You know, it's what Patrick Claassen talked about 10 years ago And speaking of Iran, preventing, you know, how to prevent an Iranian nuclear breakout. If, what did he say? If compromise is not coming, what does that mean? You will do what we say. That's not compromise. You know, if compromise is not coming, then it would be best for U.S. interest if someone else started the war. What? Well, go start it, Patrick Claussen. Do your thing, man. Go do it. It's funny how those guys never end up on the front lines. They're happy to send you, me, our children as cannon fodder. No, we have to have them, you know, as philosophers and philosopher kings because they know best. We can't send them out. Of course not. So if what we're led to believe is not actually false flag, let's just pretend for a moment that, yes, Hamas, you know, is a terrorist organization that has no affiliation to or connection to Israel, which is false. Let's pretend that's true. And that it attacked Israel. Will the perpetrators be found and brought to justice, so to speak? No. That's really not even of any interest, is it? It's pretty obvious. This is one of those hop episodes, you know, let it, help it, make it happen on purpose. However you do it, make sure whatever happens, it happens on purpose. So that you can justify your response. What do they call that in psychology circles? They call that reactive abuse or something like that. Where you provoke someone. You just keep goading and goading and provoking. And then why are they not interested? Why are we hearing? We just played the video. Why are people who filmed the massacres on Saturday, as Trey Yinks put it, why are they being targeted with airstrikes, drone strikes, artillery with airstrikes? Even drone strikes? You know, and that sounds very heavy-handed, does it not? Is that not strange? You don't want to ask questions? You're just going scorched earth. Sounds crazy to me. Second hour coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names, Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been used for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.